Hey guys, it is Jason Dillon with Parkways Podcast, and I am so glad to talk to you today. I'm believing that God's going to help me to bring to you some powerful inspirations and purposeful insights. I want to get right into what I have been feeling. In fact, I have, you know, been monitoring the news, as I'm sure many people have. But guys, we are living in a very a very charged moment of time, a moment where the purpose of God is literally unfolding before our eyes. So, reading God's Word, as I hope you are doing every day, I came across Luke chapter 9 the other day, and I really wanted to share this with you because it was powerful, and it began to stir me up, especially in light of all that is happening around the world. Jesus is calling his 12 disciples, and if ever I have felt that God is calling people to action, it's right now. I want to, for those of you listening, I want you to hear what I am saying and the passion of my heart. We cannot be lethargic. We cannot be lazy. We cannot sit back on the sidelines and say, well, you know, that's just, I'm just not geared to really go out and win souls. I'm not geared to be a gregarious person where I'm just really energized to go do this. God is calling us now more than ever to embrace being a disciple of Jesus Christ and making disciples of Jesus Christ. Listen to what the Bible says in Luke chapter 9. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils, not a few, but all devils, and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So they were tasked with relationship and with responsibility. A relationship to God to be a disciple, and a responsibility to make disciples. And in doing this, they are given power and authority over all devils. That means nothing can stand against them. And they are given the ability to cure diseases, to preach the kingdom of God, and heal the sick. Guys, do you understand that you and I are disciples of Jesus Christ, and we are in the kingdom for such a time as this? God did not want us to be born back in Bible times. He wanted us alive right now. We have to trust the timing of God. Now, some of you may be saying, why is this important? Because right now there are current world events that are shaping up that I feel that they are going to fulfill the word of God. Right now, the war that is happening with Russia and Ukraine, it was instigated by Russia. Ukraine is defending themselves and doing so quite nobly. But what I've been hearing in the news is that Russia, in Putin's frustration, may resort to chemical warfare, essentially to get the job done faster, to use nuclear warfare. And so it looks as though that this could be shaping up to be what many have known as a coming third world war. Think about it. You've got Russia, who is currently saying to all of their foreign diplomats, get out of the country. You've got Europe nations who are sending all of their Russian diplomats back to Russia. Essentially, all the sides are saying, go get on your side of the fence, and we're going to shoot at each other from our perspective sides. So this is concerning to me. Not that God can't take care of his children. He's going to do that. We're going to trust God, and he's going to take care of us. But this is shaping up and looking like Revelation chapter 9. And it tells us in verse 14 of chapter 9, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. So there is a war coming that this could be the beginning of it, that's going to see the destruction of the third part of men. So right now you've got roughly 8 billion. So you're looking at 2.5 million people that could lose their life, especially if nuclear war broke out. So what I saw today in the news is that our president, Biden, said what would he do if President Putin used chemical warfare or whatever kind. He said we would respond in kind. Whatever kind of warheads he used, we would respond in kind. So imagine, especially in the United Nations, you've got whenever they just brought a bill that assigns Russia with the responsibility and the blame of starting this war. You had Syria, who agreed with Russia. They voted to stand. So you had like 104 to against 5 other nations, or 140 nations against 5. And China abstained. There were 38 abstentions. China abstained because China aligns itself with Russia. China is looking at the situation in Russia with them trying to annex and take over Ukraine. They're wanting to know how the world's going to respond, especially the U.S., because China wants to take over Taiwan. So you've got all of these. There's no more saber rattling. The saber is pulled from the sheath and there is bloodletting. So men are dying and women are dying. And I really feel like that this is shaping up to be, my estimation, my opinion, the beginning of the Third World War. So how do we respond to this? We go back to Scripture. We understand our calling is not just to be saints who sit, but we're to be saints who serve in the kingdom of God. And this is what God is dealing with me about, that He gave His disciples power. He gave them authority. He sent them to cure diseases. When's the last time someone told you they were sick and you prayed for them? Well, I tell people, you know, well, we're going to fill out a prayer card. Don't worry about a prayer card. They're liable to either be better by the time you fill out the prayer card or dead. What you need to do is you need to pray for them immediately when you hear there is a sickness or a problem. He sent His disciples to preach the kingdom of God and heal the sick. So I want to just tell you, you've heard me, if you've listened to this podcast any length of time, you have heard me talk about how that God helps us to become, and I really appreciate. You can come to God just as you are, but thanks be to God, He'll not leave you as you are. He will cause you to become the man or woman He wants you to be. So, in the spirit of becoming, it's time for you to become a witness of Jesus Christ. And that doesn't just mean a witness of inviting people to church. When you do that, you're inviting them to a building where somebody will tell them about Jesus. But what about you telling them about Jesus on your job or at work or in the grocery store or wherever you're at? You see, your testimony is powerful. It was the Apostle Peter who said in Acts chapter 5, whenever they were brought before the Sanhedrin, he said, "We cannot speak but the things which we have seen and heard." What do I tell people when I witness to them? Tell them what you have seen and tell them what you have heard. God is using people who will make themselves available. God doesn't use the greatest ability. He uses availability. Didn't God use a donkey to speak to Balaam? Didn't God use a bush to speak to Moses? He threatened to use rocks to cry out if some held their peace? God can use anything. So don't discount your ability to be used by God. God wants to use us. We've just got to step out. I told the church recently that God called us to pray for the sick. God does the healing. We do the praying. So if we do not take the blame when people don't get healed, we'll not take the credit when they do get healed. We're not the healer. God is. We are the prayer. So I am encouraging you to engage. Engage in reaching the harvest that is set before us. The harvest is white, it's brown, it's black, it's yellow, it's red, it's every color of every ethnicity. And God has called you and I to reach the harvest. If you can't tell, I am fired up about the time that we're living in. I really don't feel that we have a lot longer on the earth. I really feel like the time is short. The days seem to just fly by. Didn't the Word of God say He would shorten the days for the elect's sake? Well, I believe God's doing that. It's already in the month of March, and it seemed like we just did our New Year's resolutions. It's like time is just clicking by at a pace that is hard to keep up with. When we approach the Scripture, not only are we comforted, yes, sometimes we need comfort from Scripture, but also sometimes we need to be challenged. My challenge to you: are you doing everything you know to do to reach lost people for the sake of God's kingdom? How many God connections have you had this week? What is a God connection? It's a connection with somebody who does not yet have the Holy Ghost. They're not yet baptized in Jesus' name. And God connects you to that person, and you can just feel this friendship, this moment is ordained by God. And then the second question: how many God conversations are you having each and every day? I want to encourage you. This is not to condemn you, but rather to kind of give you a shaking in your perspective of, I need to have some God connections and God conversations. Pray. We have not because we ask not. But if we'll ask God, God, give me some God connections. Give me some God conversations that result in a Bible study, that result in somebody getting the Holy Ghost. God can use you to do that. Don't discount your ability to be used by God. So when you're reading in Luke chapter 9, the Lord is talking to them. He says to his disciples, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread nor money, neither have two coats apiece, and whatever house you enter in, there abide, and then depart. And whosoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. Here's a revelation. Not everybody you approach with a God conversation is going to receive it. Some people will flatly reject you. Have I ever been rejected? Absolutely. I've went to talk to somebody and they just straight up rejected me. I remember a time when I was in San Francisco. I was flying in to preach for a pastor there. And I got on the Bay Area Rapid Transport System to take me to downtown. I get in downtown. I get on a bus trying to get to this hotel. And there is an older woman sitting there. Looked like a nice elderly lady. So I sit down beside her. And as I'm getting comfortable, I look over and say, God bless you. I lie not. She looked at me with a sour look. She said, I don't want your God's blessings. I've never contemplated doing this before, but it just came to me. You know how the Bible says, take no thought what you'll say, for in that hour I'll give you what to say. When she said that, I don't want your God's blessings, I quickly said, well, I take my God's blessings back then, and you're not going to have them. And she just kind of turned her back on me. I looked behind me, and there were some young people with literal pink and purple hair. And they were like, we don't know why she's acting so cantankerous. It just happened out of the blue. I've never considered saying, God bless you, and then when treated that way, say, well, I take my God's blessings back then. But I did say it on that day. So there's going to be some people who do not receive you. You know what you do? You just shake the dust off your feet and you go to the next person. I remember a friend of mine, he is a preacher friend, a pastor friend. He said these words, and they were really powerful. He said, invest in responders. Terry Schock is his name. Terry said these words, invest in responders. Don't invest in people who's not going to respond back to you. You pour your energy and effort into people that are going to respond to the gospel in the way God wants them to respond. So the disciples departed and they went through the towns preaching the gospel, healing everywhere. And as you read the chapter going on down, you see that there is a time down in verse, I believe it's verse number 12, that these thousands of people have come to listen to Jesus. And the Lord says, as it's getting near evening time, getting late, He says, you give them something to eat. And they said, Lord, this is a huge crowd, and all we have is just, you know, a few loaves of bread and two fishes, five loaves, two fishes. And so the Lord takes that, and He blesses it, and He breaks it, and He gives it. Now, I personally believe that the miracle happened in the hands of the disciples, that when the Lord broke and gave the bread, that He wasn't breaking it into small pieces and it only could happen in His hands. I know this is personal in my opinion, in my belief, but I believe when He broke a piece of bread, maybe a larger piece of bread, gave it to a disciple, He took that, and as He broke, it just continually gave back, or it grew back. Somehow, 5,000 men, not including the women and children, got enough food from five loaves and two fishes that they were filled. And there were even baskets that of fragments that were left over and taken up afterwards. There was more than enough. Here's a revelation. When you're doing God's work, there will always be more than enough to sustain you. Don't worry about where is my next meal coming from. Didn't God say in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread? Here's what I'm trying to say. Sometimes our fear of going without and our desire to hedge against future days of want will drive us to try to get another dollar and try to stuff another $10 in a bank account. But the question is not how many dollars have you saved today. How many souls have been saved today? How many people have you currently or recently encountered that you told them about the gospel, that you told them about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Obey through repentance, baptism in His name, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. This is what God is stirring me up to tell you today. That we can get distracted. We can get sidetracked trying to protect our future from a lack of want, when the truth is there are people that are lacking the gospel, the good news, understanding of what must I do to be saved. I just have this gut feeling that Putin has painted himself into a corner and he's not going to back down. He's going to flex his military might and muscles to prove to the world that Russia is a country to be contended with. This could just spiral out of control. If China, who more closely aligns itself with Russia through the communistic style of government, if they get on board with Russia and they begin to try to eat up Taiwan and other places, who's going to oppose them? And then if someone does oppose them, it's going to create conflict. Even now, Russia has told NATO, said, do not interfere in this fight, because if you interfere, we're going to bring the fight to you also. Well, that is just a recipe for disaster. So as you're reading Luke chapter 9, God is not only calling disciples, He is equipping them. He is sending them. And I'm hoping through this podcast that you're feeling that, hey, God has me in the kingdom for such a time as this. And it's not just to make me feel comfortable, and it's not just to take care of my 401k. God has me in the kingdom to do something. What are you doing about your place and your position in God's kingdom? As a disciple, making disciples. So As you read on down, you begin to see that the Lord actually asked the people, "Whom do men say that I am?" In the context of making disciples and being a disciple, there is the revelation of who is Jesus Christ. Well, some of them said, some say Elias, some John the Baptist, one of the prophets, but he made it personal. And in this hour, more now than ever, you need a personal revelation. Just got an email today that said more people are walking away from church and not coming back. You know why? The cause never became personal to them. And because of that, because it wasn't personal, well, it was mom and dad's religion. It's what, you know, the South, they just always go to church in the South. But, you know, I don't want to do that anymore. When you get the power of the Holy Ghost, when you get a revelation that Jesus is the Almighty God, it's going to change you from the inside out. It was the Apostle Peter who said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say to you that you are Peter, Petra, and upon this rock I will build my church." So guys, in the context of being a disciple and making a disciple and being given all of this supernatural power and authority to do the work of God in the earth, what are we doing with what God has given us? Are we just comforting ourselves, or are we stirring up our most holy faith to believe God has sent me into this earth at this particular time as an ambassador of the kingdom of Jesus Christ? He goes on down to say in verse 22, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and raised the third day. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gains the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels." Guys, we are not to be ashamed of what God is doing in us and through us. We need to have a holy boldness that says, "I am a child of God, and God has me on the earth right now for a specific reason." Don't back up, but rather charge forward. You're here. Why not do something? You're in the earth right now. Make your life count. Because I can literally feel end time pressure that it's on us and God is doing something right now. Let me just tell you about one of the miracles, and I'm about to be done, but I want you to hear this, because tell people what you have seen and what you have heard. God is reaching for people in unconventional ways. I have a pastor friend in California, and as he's preaching this message, it's been very recent, he knows he's speaking to a gangster in the audience. He just has a feeling that this is connecting straight with him. And he tells him, he says, "Sir, you know I'm preaching to you." And the guy says, yes, he nods. Well, he wasn't able to connect with him after church and get his number, but he did a few services later. So then just a short time after he had his number, the guy's name was Jose. He is my pastor friend's preaching somewhere. It's late at night, and he felt the Lord strongly urge him, "Call Jose." He said, I'll call him in the morning. No, call Jose right now. So he picks up his phone, and he dials Jose's number. And the phone rings and rings and rings, and then it keeps ringing and it keeps ringing. And many of you who have iPhones or even Androids, you know they're programmed to where they're not going to ring forever. They'll go to a voicemail, or they'll say the subscriber you're trying to reach is not reachable, whatever. And it rings. And so he gets dressed for bed. and it's ringing, and he gets in the bed and it keeps ringing, and he just has this desire to let it ring. And I don't know exactly how long it rang, but it rang a long time till finally the phone picked up and the guy said in a very angry, frustrated voice, "Who are you and what are you doing calling me this late?" And he said, "Hey, Jose, it's Pastor Nick." And the man, Jose, broke down and started crying. And he said, "Pastor Nick," he said, "I'm so thankful you called." He said, "I had a nickel-plated 45 handgun pressed to my head. And I said, as soon as the phone quits ringing, I'm pulling the trigger." But the phone never stopped ringing. Why? Because God loves people. And God's desperately reaching for people. And he's doing it through people like you and I. Have you had a chance lately to pray and say, "God, lay somebody on my heart that I can call, that I can reach out to, that I can invite to church, that I can tell about the gospel, that I can go teach a Bible study to? God, help me, God, to know who to reach for. And just give me that passion to do it, no matter if they flatly reject me and say, 'I don't want your God's blessings,' or if they open their arms and say, 'Hey, tell me about this Jesus that you're so in love with.'" We've got to reach people. I really believe the time is short. I urge you, I encourage you not to be bashful, but to be bold. I encourage you, don't let condemnation over what you haven't done stop you from doing something today. Let's get up. Let's begin to surge forward, believing that God is going to direct us. I'm so thankful you joined me today. God bless you. I pray the rest of your week is the best of your week. And let's reach somebody for Jesus Christ. God bless.